If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into today's episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me today is Dirty Diz. Diz, how's it going?
Going great, Patty. Happy to be here.
Awesome. And of course, we got Sunshine.
How's it going?
It's going good, man. Going good. So we are now live on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you just search for Sports Betting by Dummies, you should be able to find us. You can also follow us on Twitter at SportsBetByDumb. We will post our best bets of the night, along with the Hail Mary parlay of the day. So to start us out today, obviously, this past weekend, we just got done with the Masters. So we're going to start off with some Masters review. Hideki Matsuyama won it for us. Not for us, just won it.
He won it for me.
He did win it for Diz. Diz, you want to share?
Absolutely. So in a couple Masters pools this weekend for some cold hard cash and was rooting for Zalatoris all day, and then my other brother texted me and let me know that I had Matsuyama in the family pool. So essentially, I've been a Matsuyama fan my entire life. And Patty and Sunshine, you guys owe me money, so I'll take those Venmos, boys.
Correction, I've already paid. So
how much?
I haven't gotten anything.
Well, that's on Mike. I think Mike's the one collecting the money. Oh, shout out Dirty Mike. So future guest of the show. So Yeah, that's all on him. And Sunshine, I believe it was $10 to enter. So Matsuyama
became... Fun fact is that Hideki Matsuyama's dad looks just like Hideki. So if you want to look at that, some people don't look just like their dad, but he does.
Well, there you go. That's a quick little tidbit from the Godfather there. Shout out the Godfather. He's listening in and giving comments here and there, so shout out him. Yeah, seriously. But Matsuyama became the first ever Japanese pro golfer to win a men's major golf tournament. And with the Olympics coming to Tokyo this year, I'm sure he will be a major part of the ceremony.
Absolutely. He's going to light the torch.
Hey, that would be awesome. Love to see that. And opening ceremonies with the torch, with the green jacket on? Are you kidding me? Give that to me in my veins all day.
It's either going to be Matsuyama or my boy Shogo Akiyama.
We are not going back on Shogo. We don't even know if Shogo's even still in the MLB at this point. So
he is, bro. His wife's in a bad spot. Give him some time.
That's fair. I mean, that is fair. I can't argue that. Shout out to whatever episode we talked about that. So some other news from the Masters. Xander Schauffele. He kind of blew it. So he triple bogeyed 16 after being down only two strokes. He had birdied four straight holes before that. So he was on a tear, and he had Matsuyama in his sights. And even in the post interview, he said he hit the perfect shot, but it just was inches from getting into the bunker in front of the green, and it rolled past it and into the water.
Yeah, I think the post game interview was really cool because he was like, had a great attitude and was like, I thought I flushed it. And I think it was just super relatable. Like, you hit a good shot and it doesn't go your way. It kind of sucks too, because like you said, he birdied four straight and Matsuyama was playing kind of shaky even before that double bogey on, or bogey on 15. So it's unfortunate because I wanted it to be much more competitive down the stretch.
Yeah. So Matsuyama actually hit one in the water on 15. His approach shot, he hit into the water on 15. So he bogeyed that one, like Diz said. And actually, Schauffele was like a few inches away from holding his chip out for eagle on that same hole, I believe. So, you know, Schauffele was coming on strong, and just that triple bogey, that'll kill you. But that's part of the Masters, right?
That's right.
And then the other news or note that I wanted to share, and shout out to Hurricane Ross of the Permaglitch Gaming guys. He sent this to me, and I had no idea about it, but apparently Matthew Wolf got disqualified on Friday. So he wrote down the wrong score on his scorecard for hole number 17 on Friday. He actually gave himself a better score than what he did. And so he got disqualified for it. Now, granted, he was going to miss the cut anyways, but it's just something interesting. And I hope, you know, one, not only he learns from it, but people in the future kind of take it as a, you know, learning opportunity, and just, you know, something as simple as writing your score down could cost you, you know, tons of money and make you lose out on a golf tournament.
How close was he to making the cut? Because it just doesn't seem like something he would do on purpose. I'm sure it was an accident, but I'm curious to know how far away he was from making the cut. Because, like, if he wasn't close to making the cut, it's super unfortunate. Like, just let it be. It was an easy mistake. There's no reason why he would, like, cheat off a stroke if he was, like, six away from making it. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's exactly where he was. He was quite a bit away from making the cut. It was an honest mistake. I don't think anyone was.
Then I wish it just, like, would have been, like, under the radar. Like, why does that have to be a big deal? Like, he wouldn't have made the cut anyways. Like, just keep it moving, you know?
Well, yeah, but that's, like, you know, third string point guard getting ejected from a game when they're down by 20 points, right? It's not going to make a difference in the game. It's not going to make a difference in the next one. But, you know, someone getting disqualified is noteworthy, especially in a major championship like this.
See, I don't think it's noteworthy, and I think it should have been, like, under wraps. I think we have different takes here. Like, it just makes golf look bad. Like, everyone hates how stringy golf is. And, like, we all saw Abraham Answer's two-shot penalty. Like, golf just gets a bad rap. I don't know why this was even, like, reported out.
Well, some people, you know, that report the news and stuff, they're looking for their next noteworthy piece of information, and something as simple as this, you know, gets clicks. Like, seriously, like, it got clicks. It got, you know, it got press and stuff like that. So, but yeah, no, I see what you're saying, and I think that's why it's not as big of a deal as it could have been if he was, like, in contention and then got disqualified or whatever the case is. But it is what it is, and I just wanted to bring that up, and, you know, because it was news.
Yeah, I feel you.
And so now, looking forward and ahead to the next. Oh, the Godfather, you got something?
I was just going to say it's a silly rule. I think if somebody makes an accident and has the wrong score on their card, and because they check the other players, double check, and I don't know. It's a silly rule.
Yeah.
I could see where somebody's got a lot on their mind and they don't, you know, they could make that mistake.
Yeah, no, I agree. But maybe that's the rule they'll change going forward, or, you know, it's not something that happens very often, obviously, because I don't think I've ever heard of that happening, but it is what it is.
The worst is when they, like, sign the wrong scorecard because they were assessed a penalty they didn't know about. That's the dumbest thing ever. But I agree with the Godfather, and, like, it's a dumb rule. You got cameras on me, or on the golfer, like, everyone knows what they shot. Like, it's just dumb that they even have to keep their own score, in my opinion. So I agree with the Godfather.
So what you just said was interesting to me, Diz. So you said that if you sign the wrong scorecard when a penalty is assessed, then what happens there? Like, Abraham Answer obviously didn't know that he got the two-stroke penalty for grazing the sand in his backswing.
Right.
So, but he didn't get disqualified.
Yeah, because I think they told him before he signed his scorecard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, like, that's what happens a lot of the time. Like, forgive me for not knowing her name. I think her name's Lexi Thompson. She almost won a major on the LPGA Tour, but, like, there was a call-in penalty, and then she got another stroke because she signed the wrong score.
See, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. And you're right. That's why people dislike golf, right? Because they think it's for stuck up people that, you know, are set in their ways, and they're no fun league and all this other crap. But oh well, what are we gonna do? Maybe someday they'll change that rule or whatever. But moving on, so we do have the next major championship kind of in our sights. That is the PGA Championship. I believe that's coming up in about a month, towards the middle to end of May, I think. The current favorite right now on FanDuel is Dustin Johnson at 11-1 odds. Everyone right now is pretty much showing similar to odds to what they were for the Masters. And I think that's to be expected, right? We've seen one major. It's at Augusta. We know Augusta is traditionally tough, but you still have the same players up at the top, like Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, you know, all those guys. And then some shocking odds and some odds you might want to jump on. So our boy Matsuyama is actually at 27-1 right now to win the PGA Championship. And Zalatoris, everyone's favorite cat, Gilmore, is now actually at 33-1 odds on FanDuel. And he actually started out at 64-1 like yesterday or something, but people are already jumping on that.
I love it. I love the man. He might be my new favorite.
I think he's going to be a lot of people's favorites. I mean, he looks incredible. He's, you know, young, unsung hero. I think everyone's jumping on board.
It's the blonde lettuce for me.
Well, and that name, Zalatoris. I believe Sunshine said it like last episode or something, and it kind of got me going. Like, I was like, whoa, look at this guy.
Yeah, a lot of inappropriate nicknames too, which I'm a big fan of.
I don't know those, and I'm not going to ask you for those, but we will move on. In other news, big news today, the NHL trade deadline, I believe, concluded today. And a lot of teams in the NHL made a lot of moves. It's not quite as quiet as, say, the NFL trade deadline, but the one team that kind of caught my eye was the Boston Bruins. I saw they made a flurry of trades. They're currently fourth in the East. And the top four teams in each division make the playoffs. So I don't know much about hockey, but it does seem they're making a playoff push and might be worth putting a future on them to win their division or the whole thing. And we'll go to Diz, our hockey sharp, on some additional analysis there.
I think it's huge for Bruins fans just to see that they're trying to be a serious contender. I don't know if landing Taylor Hall does that for them, but they're definitely a better team with the kid, and I'm excited to see how much better they are with Taylor Hall, because he was truly wasted on the Sabres. So I'm happy for Taylor Hall. I'm happy for Bruins fans. Last thing we need is the Bruins making another Stanley Cup run, but you gotta respect the move. You gotta respect that they pulled trigger on that, and hopefully the kid stays a star in Boston.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, Diz, but a lot of the contenders in the NHL made some moves recently, right? I saw we're kind of talking the Panthers made some moves. The Penguins. Absolutely. The Penguins made some moves.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a playoff push, and I think people are making moves, and teams that are selling are clearly out of the playoffs, don't plan on making the playoffs, and trying to get some draft capital for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pretty excited about my Florida Panthers trading for Sam Bennett. Just veteran guy. It shows that we're going for it all. You know, with the franchise as it is, you know, some of these seasons are just one in a million. You got to go all out. And I'm excited to see what Florida does. Pittsburgh lands Jeff Carter. So, man, it's going to be cool. I'm excited for playoff hockey. It's all about who gets hot at the right time. That kind of leads into my best bets of the night. Can we jump there, Patty?
For you, yes. You can go ahead and jump into your best bets of the night.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. The St. Louis Blues are playing the Minnesota Wild tonight. And
real quick, that game got canceled.
Are you serious?
Legit. Everything in Minnesota got canceled. I assume you haven't heard, but another unarmed person got shot in Minnesota, you know, 14 miles away from where George Floyd did.
Oh no.
So all of Minnesota sports are canceled tonight, and our thoughts and prayers are with the city of Minnesota and the family of the victim.
Big T's and P's. That's awful that I didn't know that. Holy cow.
It was late breaking that the games did get canceled, though. I was planning on betting on the Minnesota Timberwolves and Brooklyn Nets game, but that also got canceled kind of around 4 or 5 o'clock tonight. So it was late breaking, but definitely our thoughts and prayers are out to the family, and we just need to be better.
Wow. Well, I guess I have one best bet tonight, and you better believe it's an over 5.5. Anytime there's a 5.5 in an NHL game, I'm probably going to take it. But for best bets tonight, I'm keeping it as one. I know I went 5-2 on the 7 on Friday night, but my most confident pick is Blackhawks Blue Jackets over 5.5. Blackhawks scored 4 against the Blue Jackets on Saturday night, and I think they're going to stay pretty hot. 5.5 is just a tasty number to jump over. So I'm hammering the over. Blackhawks versus Blue Jackets at 5.5.
Love it. Sticking to your bread and butter. When we were going to review best bets on Monday, I was going to mention that you did go 5-2 on those overs that you hammered on Friday. Those are your bread and butter. And if you missed that episode last Friday, make sure you go back and listen to it. Or if you want, on Twitter, we put just a minute-long clip of our boy Dirty Diz here hammering the over for all those games. So make sure you give that a listen. As far as my best bets on Friday, I went 0-2-1, and sports betting is a roller coaster. Early last week, I was feeling really good. I was feeling great. Then this weekend, I got smacked in the mouth. Possibly my worst sports gambling weekend of all time. But I am feeling good today. I think we're on the hill. We're going to climb back up to the top of the mountain. And this week we will get back on track. And then finally, Sunshine over there went 1-0 with his Reds money line pick. They won an extra inning 6-5 on Friday. But then they lost the next two of the weekend. And which brings me to my question. Are the Reds frauds? Can they win only at home in one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks?
So I'm just going to interrupt you there. And I'm going to say I said something last week on the podcast that I am not ashamed of. I consider myself to be a man of faith, as I'm going to take another Reds money line tonight. For all those who I may have led astray last week, I just want to say that I'm very, very not sorry. I don't know if I'll be on this podcast again. I don't know if it'll be with this one or with another low-budget gambling podcast. But the Reds are going to bounce back, and that is my firm belief. So if I misguided anybody and you lost some money, just know that I'm not ashamed about it. But the Reds are going to bounce back.
That is fantastic. Now, I'm just saying, and I looked this up earlier because I was very curious about it. Anybody want to guess what the Reds' average runs scored were at Great American Ballpark?
I can do the math there.
It's like 9.5 this season. So in the 6 games at Great American Ballpark, they averaged 9.5 runs scored. Granted, they've only had one series, but the 3 games away from Great American Ballpark, they only averaged 3 runs in those 3 games. Now, you could argue
Is 3 runs astronomically low?
No, 3 runs a game should win you a ball game.
I don't know.
Three runs a game is not over 500, but 3 runs a game is not astronomically low. It's not like we got destroyed. I mean, we almost got no hit yesterday, but we still put up, 6 or 7 on Friday? We can still hit. We just had a bad game.
You put up 6 on Friday, and then you still only averaged 3 runs for the 3 games, and that's with that 6 included in there. So,
well, that's how an average works, Pat.
Yeah, I'm just saying, can the Reds... I don't know that the Reds pitching is good enough to win them enough games if you're only scoring 3 runs a game.
Pat, just because you're pissing me off, I might do a house call on the Reds money line tonight because we're going to put up 17 runs.
Hey, that's fine. And you know what? I saw a lot of people on sports gambling Twitter that were hammering the Reds money line tonight because you could get them for plus money. And I said, I don't know. I kind of like the under in that game. It's 8.5 between the Giants and the Reds.
You're taking an under. Get off the pod.
No, that's what I go to sometimes. I'm a big under guy. I'm not like you. I'm not hammering overs 24/7. You're not
fun like me. Life's too short to take the under.
Another fun fact.
Yes, let's go.
The Reds, you can get $10 tickets through the end of May. So we need to go when the Reds play the Pirates, because against the Pirates, the Reds didn't average 9 runs a game. They averaged 12 and a half.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hang on a second, though. Little disclaimer on that. You get, there's $10 tickets if you are vaccinated.
Okay, well, I'm vaccinated. Who's with me?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm just saying, before everyone gets excited and starts road tripping to Cincinnati, you have to be vaccinated.
What are they if you're not vaccinated? Can we get a
We don't have that off the top of our heads. We will get back to you on that. But
big screen TV on the banks of the Ohio.
That's right.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Godfather, again. So now I'm going to go into my best bets of the night. Both of these are in the NBA, like I usually do. And we're going to start off with the Knicks -2 versus the Los Angeles Lakers. And Diz was right on Friday. I have to tell him he was absolutely right. I bet against my Knicks on Friday. And sure enough, the Knicks ended up winning. So I'm going back to the well tonight, Diz. I'm going back to my Knicks.
Yeah, you can't bet against one of your teams that's making you money. And I get that the Grizz was making you money too. But, man, I'm telling you, the listeners are going to get bored if I keep proving you wrong every podcast.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll see. But anyways, both of these teams are super hot. The Lakers are 4-1 against the spread in their last 5. The Knicks are 5-0 against the spread in their last 5. However, the Lakers are 4-8 against the spread in their last 12 games against the Knicks. And that is probably even with LeBron, AD, whoever. So that's not just of recent. This is their last 12 games against the Knicks. They're 4-8 against the spread. And then the Lakers are 2-7 against the spread their last 9 games playing at the Knicks home stadium. So I'm really loving the Knicks -2 here.
Dude, stick to what you know. I'm not going to fight it. I took 7 overs on Friday night. You betting your Knicks makes me happier.
And that's my goal, is just to make Diz and Sunshine happy. Go. The last best bet of the night that I have is the NBA again, and it's the Nuggets -4.5 versus the Warriors. The Warriors have both James Wiseman and Kelly Oubre out, although I will say it does look like the Nuggets may again be without Jamal Murray, but I don't think it matters. The Nuggets are 6-3 against the spread in their last 9. The Nuggets are 12-1 against the spread in their last 13 games played on a Monday. The Nuggets are a Monday team, folks.
That's cap.
The Warriors, 3-8 against the spread in their last 11 games. Easy money. Give me the Nuggets -4.5.
I'm all right with the bet, but the whole Monday thing is wild.
You didn't like that Monday stat?
There's no way a team is better on a certain day of the week.
12-1 against the spread in their last 13 games played on a Monday. That's not a small sample size either. I mean, come on.
That's just like what I...
Give it to me. You know you want to give it to me.
I love your research. I love that you pulled that stat out. But I don't see how the day of the week has anything to do with it.
So it's Monday morning, baby. Let's go to work.
I respect your research, but, you know, I just... That's crazy. That's crazy that that would matter, but I don't know. I respect your bet.
Okay. Well, we have a little bit of fun on here from time to time, but, and so we already got Diz, we got your best bet, we got Sunshine's best bet. So that leads me to the Hail Mary parlay of the day. I don't have what it is to win because that Minnesota game got canceled, but I got 9 games for you. We got...
Hey, do you know what it was before the Minnesota game got canceled? Just so our listeners can hear how absurd this would be if this ever hit.
Before that game got canceled, I had $1 to win $602.91. And so
that's absurd.
It is, but it's going to hit sometime soon. You got to trust me on that. But anyways, we have 8 games in the NBA and 1 Major League Baseball game. So we got in the NBA, we got Knicks -2 versus the Lakers, Mavericks +2.5 versus the 76ers, Spurs and Magic over 218 combined points. I did that one for you, Diz.
Thanks, bub.
Grizzlies minus 2.5 versus the Bulls. Pelicans minus 3 versus the Kings. Jazz minus 10.5 versus the Wizards. Nuggets minus 4.5 versus the Warriors. And then the Suns minus 12 versus the Rockets. And then we wrap that up with a Major League Baseball game. And I like the Brewers money line versus the Chicago Cubs.
Why?
What, the Brewers over the Cubs?
Yeah.
Well, the Cubs lost 2 games to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
So they're going to bounce back.
Nope. I think the Cubs are going to be dog crap. When we were doing the NL Central preview, I thought the Cubs were way too high on people's win total list. Definitely an under on the Cubs. They only lost people. They didn't gain anybody good. So I really liked, I really thought the Cubs would struggle. And then the Brewers took 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals. They, you know, are really hitting well early on in this season, and they have their best pitcher on the mound tonight. So I really like the Brewers money line versus the Cubs.
I respect it. Your Hail Mary parlay is never going to hit, but I love that you do it every day.
And when it does hit, you all can suck it.
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome. So thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode. I do have a request for everyone tonight. If you love the show, I want you to share this podcast with one person you know. If you're like me, you got into sports gambling because of someone else. So share this with them. You listen to this together. You can talk about our picks. You can laugh at my Hail Mary parlay like Diz does. You can hammer the over with Diz. You can bet the Reds money line with Sunshine.
Yeah.
The team that bets together wins together, baby.
I was going to say that got me juiced, but you lose together too. Losing together is better than losing alone. So
that's right. Whatever you're doing it together with your friends and your family. And that's what we're all about, baby. Have a great night, everyone, and we will see you all on Wednesday.